Too much reading for you. It wasn't even show notes. It was just a couple of texts of, hey, here's some info we might want to discuss.
How many friends do
Bridge
you...
Bridge too far.
How
Bridge
many,
too far.
How many friends? Let me ask you a question.
Zero. Zero friends.
Okay. All right. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, shocking. Hey, here's a big shocker. Al doesn't play well with others. Hello and welcome to episode 503 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
And a little bit late, Adam. We're just a couple hours behind schedule this week.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that just burns your bottom.
Not me. There's been some listener blowback, though. Actually, I did post a message letting people know that there will be a show today, but a little bit late.
Yeah.
If I posted yesterday and there's some response, they were blaming you, actually.
Yeah.
Come on, just get your challenge photo done and get on with it. That's what they're saying.
Wow. Yeah. The internet is harsh.
They're cruel.
Yeah.
They are cruel. Now, realistically, it's actually not Adam's fault.
All right. Yes.
I do blame Adam.
A win for me.
Those two things can be mutually exclusive. But what we ended up doing, just as a heads up, we were scheduled to end our vacation. I feel like I'm listening to the beginning of Back to the Future with all those clocks ticking at your house. I don't know if the microphone's picking it up, but
I think that's the ceiling fan. Do you want me to turn it off while you just kind of talk?
No, turn it up. Will it go louder? Like, what is this, the opening of Apocalypse okay. Now?
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Oh, or? Okay. Good podcast.
Problem
good
pod. Solved. Did you see what I did there? I solved problems.
Yeah, it's like you're in a recording studio now. Yeah, we're gonna do a slow dissolve to Martin Sheen's eyes, and then the helicopter sound. It's good. It's very good editing. Walter Murch. Good for Walter Murch.
Great.
Sound editing there. The I just went through a ceiling fan debacle. Bought three of them and took them all back.
Okay.
Just did not work out here. Does yours get hot?
I don't spend a lot of time with my hands on it, but
well, you might want to if it catches fire.
We've had the same one for the last 10 years, so I'm pretty sure it's okay.
Okay. Later on we'll talk ceiling fan heat. We had an issue with one being way too hot in my daughter's room and I changed it out, and then the next one it smelled like burning.
Okay.
So I got that out of there, and now we're just back to being hot. All right. Ceiling fan, done.
Yes.
The scheduling snafu there was we were supposed to be done our vacation on Thursday, be back home by Thursday evening in time to record the podcast, but we ended up extending. We had a couple of days of kind of marginal weather at the end of the vacation and wanted to extend. We heard Thursday and Friday we're going to be excellent, like just 35 degrees and sunny. And so we wanted to stay for the kids. And also, it turns out, you don't want to pack up your tent trailer in the rain.
No, bad idea.
Yeah. As it is, you still because of the time-wise, you know, all the morning dew hasn't evaporated by the time you do pack it up. So you still have to open it up when you get home. But that's a far cry from pouring rain. So we pushed a day and then tried to reschedule during the weekend, but there's no flies on Adam this weekend. He was doing lots of stuff, so do not blame him, but it is his fault.
Okay, all right.
All right. Amazon, if you need a tent trailer that you can fold up in the rain, I think Amazon's not your best bet.
No, I'm sure there's tent trailer places.
Get it used. I would say get it used. I can't see the market for a new tent trailer.
Okay.
However, if you're buying literally anything else on Amazon, click through our site and help us out. We appreciate it. Speaking of which, I have a question for you about a potential purchase that I will legitimately make as soon as we hang up on this recording, if you give me the green light.
Okay.
Massage gun. What do you know about these massage guns? What did you call them? Point something?
Oh, like they're little like trigger point guns. Like you.
Okay.
It's not something that I know any physiotherapists that use this in their practice. This is more a tool of chiropractors and massage therapists.
Did you see the little video link I sent you in your messages?
No.
Okay. So the little background on this is last year we played a couple of exhibition games against that team from Canada. And one of the guys who was like a MLB prospect for the draft was over here, and he had one. It was I'd never seen one before, and it was kind of a relatively new thing, and they're very expensive, like a year ago. And he was given one, and we tried it out. And a lot of the pitchers are using them on their elbows and their shoulders.
Okay.
And so I checked it out, and thought that's pretty cool. Didn't really need one, and now evidently, I guess China's been knocking them off, as if I understand correctly, because now they're all over Amazon at about one tenth the price of what they were selling last year.
Okay.
And so they're about $80 or $100 or something like that. And so a couple guys on my team have one, and they use them on the arms. I've tried it a little bit on the elbow. Feels pretty good. I need to know is if that kind of sustained massage, does it just feel good, or is there some therapeutic value that will help me out?
I'm going to suggest that you're going to have to do some research. I honestly don't know.
This is my research. I'm asking a professional.
Yeah, a professional who's never used one and doesn't care to use one. So again,
okay, but why? But I mean, if I had a professional Adam who I could just say, "Hey, fix my UCL for me."
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the massage. Yeah, the massage gun's not going to do that. It might help with relaxing the muscles in on a short term basis. That's what I'm gonna probably say it's best used for. But as far as injury prevention, I'm not sure if there's any validation to that. I'm not sure what else they would be using it for other than, muscle relaxation, maybe short-term pain relief. But yeah, I'm not, again, it's one of those things that I'm sure you could put it in the, under the category in that you're probably, if you like it, if you find that it's helpful and does something, then it's worth it for your $80 to $100.
So like ice cream.
Yeah, kind of like, that's a good comparison.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see. Now I don't know. Now I'm going to have to do some research from someone who knows something. What about massage? Like I've never actually been for a massage before in my life. I don't know.
That's weird. To be honest, I've never been either. But there's lots of validity behind massage and the therapeutic benefits for massage. Again, now, if you're going to sort of adapt that to baseball and performance, I'm going to say, I bet you that's not been validated, like how that would enhance or in any way, sort of translate to a performance standpoint. So it all depends on just what you're after. If it's pain relief, yes. Massage.
Okay, because my wife would also like it for general like shoulder massage and back stuff and whatever it is.
Yeah, of course. Like that's very that's very valid.
Okay, so I'm gonna roll the dice on it then. It looks like
sure.
Okay, what about stimulating blood flow like again to my elbow?
Yep, that would have.
Okay, so that leads me to another follow up question before we get into the photo stuff.
You know what also would increase blood flow? Moving your arm.
I did a lot of that on the mound yesterday, and here we are. This is the problem.
Gotcha.
I threw like four innings, and without having really worked out this year, like without normally you go out early in like in February or late January in the gym and start doing some long toss and getting your arm ready for the season. But due to this thing called coronavirus, we didn't do that. I didn't do that this year.
Right.
And just played my first game on the 23rd of August and. Just went out and said, "Yeah, I'll just throw four innings. Why not?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm a spry 46 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. No. No, not this morning. Not with that clicking that like my elbow sounds like your ceiling fan. That's the worst part. but here's the honest follow-up question. And I know some of our listeners have kids who play baseball, and traditionally, like forever, me growing up is the convention was, hey, as soon as you're done pitching, ice that arm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a massage therapist, nor a doctor, nor any of that. But just from a logical standpoint, I don't think that's a good idea. What do you think on icing?
I'm a big fan
of icing. Like your son throws three innings and then you ice his arm after?
Well, he doesn't. But you know, the aging veteran that you are, there's going to be some soft tissue, like you're less elastic than he is. So you're going to have probably small amounts of kind of like micro tissue damage. And your body's response to that would be an inflammatory response. And ice is an anti-inflammatory or natural anti-inflammatory. So you're basically trying to, you know, mitigate that soft tissue irritation with the ice. That's why you would.
Why do I want to mitigate? So here's my understanding about Mother Nature. She's even-handed for the most part, okay?
Mm-hmm. She also doesn't want 46-year-olds to be pitching.
I disagree. Otherwise, I wouldn't be out there doing it. But so what I'm... my knuckleball was dancing yesterday, by the way. Struck a guy out. Oh, struck out the four-hitter. Six straight knuckleballs.
Nice.
Yeah. Three of them were balls, as you can tell.
Right.
However, point being... So here's how I understand the inflammation process. It's like, so you're out the throwing, you're basically damaging or injuring your arm, whatever low grade or mm-hmm. stress you're putting on your arm. Yeah. Mother Nature says, okay, enough now. So it sends inflammation one to slightly immobilize that joint to prevent further damage, right? So you can't move it and say, hey, look, just take it easy, guy.
Sure. And yeah, it's sending out a warning signal. Yeah. And it's a natural response to tissue trauma that's involved in healing.
Yes. Okay. But that's what I'm saying. So the secondary aspect of the inflammation is the healing part. So mm-hmm. why would I want to
Because the inflammatory response to healing for something like, you know, throwing that's going to be occurring on a regular basis is more of a chronic irritation that you're trying to, mm-hmm. like inflammatory cells are normal and natural, but you also don't want them to go on for too long. So when it's in response to something like throwing, you want to control that inflammatory response as much as you can. It's still going to occur. You're not stopping inflammation from occurring. You're just trying to, you know, make it a milder response because the inflammatory cells, if they kick around too long, can actually do more harm than good. So inflammation is a super complex process that, you know, that's a physiology course for another day. But when it comes to throwing and 46-year-old arms, I would definitely try to mitigate the inflammatory response after throwing. Now, again, like go back to 11-year-old, no, because they're elastic and they're not going to break down in the same way. So again, when they hit 14, 15, they get bigger, stronger, and their body starts to get a little less elastic and they start to actually feel some soreness after throwing, they need to either throw less and allow longer recovery, or they definitely should be icing afterwards.
What does Aroldis Chapman do after a game?
That's a good question. I think, again, those guys, for sure they're icing, but they're probably in the whole ice tub. And that's another thing that's, you know, ice and cold water that can be used for recovery. But that's different. Yeah.
Okay. Enough.
Okay. Everyone knows. I generally, I'm a big fan of ice. I'll say that. I'll go on record.
I'm going to put my new massage gun in the freezer when I get it.
Sure. Yeah.
That's my plan.
Get an Amazon. Amazon's great for this. All the different, you know, gel packs that come with sleeves and like Velcro, and you can have the big shoulder pack or the big knee pack or whatever you need. Get it on Amazon.
Okay. See, my buddy who the pitcher, he takes like a basically like a sliced up inner tube and tightly wraps his arm for like 5 minutes after a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is.
Well, that's just compression, which is going to increase like blood flow and circulation, but that's not going to do anything for like an inflammatory response.
Okay. I think that was part of his plan. All right. What's going on in Vancouver, Adam? That's what I wanted to ask you.
It's starting to cool down a bit, so I think we're getting either an early kind of hint of what fall might be, or maybe we're just in a 1 week down, and we're going to rebound with some big time summer here in the next week.
Going to be a hiccup. Going to be a hiccup, and you're going to get great September.
Maybe, yeah. Hard to know. I'm hoping.
Well, you know what I did see the other day, and it doesn't occur as much here as when I was a kid. Maybe not now at all in Vancouver, but when I was a kid, tell me if this happened back in Montreal or Toronto, wherever you're from. I forget now.
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, but your parents are from Montreal.
Right, correct.
So I'm not being obtuse.
You're not way off, no.
No. So anyways, point being, what was the first sign that when you were a kid that summer was over and school was starting? Besides you going to buy new shoes.
That was definitely one, was the new shoes. Yeah. I can't really think of anything other than...
The leather jackets, the little crane flies would show up.
What?
You know those little crane flies that like that the little, we call them leather jackets. What do you call them?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
They basically sit on the wall of the school and like all the kids like pluck the wings off of. You didn't do that?
No.
Wow, you get a terrible childhood. You don't know what a leather jacket is?
No, I do not.
So it would always
not.
Show up, like basically like the last week of summer, the first week of school in North America, or in Vancouver anyways, they would just blanket the school, like all the walls on the outside, they'd just be everywhere. And that's how you knew that the summer was over and it was time to go back to school.
That was not a thing for me.
Wow, you're missing out. I wonder if your son has done that. They probably don't torture bugs for no reason like us jerks did in the 80s, but different times now.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him though.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
So as I was saying, we just got back from camping. We took the tent trailer out for its inaugural run.
Mm-hmm.
For us, anyways. Like I said, we bought it used, so... A little strange this year, first of all, vacationing, because I'm sure same for you, right? Like, normally you go somewhere.
Yeah.
So for us, our plan was a Vancouver, which got scrubbed, obviously. And then the reason we bought the tent trailer in the first place was to basically drive down to Spain and go camp on the Costa Brava or something like that. You can go camping there, and it's pretty awesome in a tent trailer. Not this year, of course. So we camped in Germany, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
They have it. They have campgrounds and whatnot. Not like what you're used, like we're used to in like Alice Lake or Cultus Lake or anything like that. Nothing like a provincial campground, which is amazing. One of the things I miss a lot about living over here versus where you are, even though you hate Alice Lake, I think.
No, I don't hate it. I'm not a big camper in general.
Right. You might change your mind if you had a tent trailer. The tent sucks. I've been to Alice Lake in your tent twice. It's not a good experience. It's not your fault. You didn't make the tent. Like it's just that it is so you're up in the forest up in the rainforest. So even on a hot sunny day, you're in the rainforest. So your sleeping bag is wet no matter what. So it's a tough putt. So I understand that. Anyway, point being, we took the tent trailer out the first time. I got some photo. I think I posted a photo of it for you to see how big it is.
Yeah, I saw the photo.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So that's an actual tent trailer, believe it or not. Everyone thought it looks like a tent.
Yeah, I've not seen a tent trailer that looks like that.
No, that's not what I was expecting when my wife said, hey, we should buy a tent trailer. I thought I was going to get the one with the crank where the metal roof comes up and the two beds fold out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I envisioned.
It's kind of like that, but you basically, it's basically a giant tent within that tent trailer. Now you take the top off and the two beds do fold out, but then a tent goes over, like there's a built-in tent that flops over top of that. Like that part's very easy. Like that part is set up in minutes, and then you add the front tent, the Vorzelt, the front tent, onto it. Like it zips on, and then you have to build the frame inside.
Okay.
That does not take 2 minutes.
Okay.
that takes approximately 2 hours in the 38 degree sun.
Do they not have the old version or the version that I see people driving around with here?
I have not seen them.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Because that's what I was fully expecting. Because, you know, obviously, like, there's advantages to trailers. This is a different show we're talking about. Point is, there's a tent trailer.
Yeah, looks like a giant tent.
Giant tent. Actually, it did quite well. As you can see, my kids are got the rain jackets on. This is just after it hammered rain all night, and thing held up like a champ. I might take it to Everest next year. It held up that well.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was well done. We did that. What else did we do? Oh, maybe we'll talk about that in the topic.
Okay.
Oh, but there's one part I want to talk about camping. We had a bit of a rough go. We were there for like almost 2 weeks, 12 days or something like that. So there's the good part was the campground was only allowed to be half full because of the corona restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like no waiting in line for stuff or showers or whatever. But my wife one day early on went and took her dishes in to do our dishes at the end, you know, after dinner, and was wearing her sunglasses, her Ray-Bans, and put them down on the counter, did her dishes, walked back to the tent trailer and realized, oh, I forgot my sunglasses. Like 5 minutes later, walked back, gone.
Oh no.
Who does that?
Yeah, that's not cool.
So 5 minutes left them laying for 5 minutes, just swiped. Same thing happened. Like my kids have a couple of like these little balls that you play with in the water, and which I guess technically is every ball ever, but these are specifically water balls. And I guess someone just snagged one of those while we were at the beach, just walked off with it because it was gone.
Yeah.
Not the weirdest part though. I'm building up to something that confuses me to this very second that I'm talking about it.
Okay, let's have it.
So part of our deal, as I'll show you a picture in a bit, is so we were staying at this lake. That's about, the literature says it was like just over 600 meters across or long or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we were staying was the campground side. It was a little like there's lake access, but it's not. It wasn't you wouldn't call it a beach. It's like kind of like grass, and you can get in the lake. But on the other side, the far end, this is 620 meters down, according to Wikipedia, is the beach side, which you could ride your bike to around the lake if you wanted. But I rigged up a way, I could figure out a way to tie the rubber dinghy that we'd borrowed around my waist, and I could swim with it and tow my kids across the lake and back. And so that's what we would do in the morning, afternoon, whenever we'd go. We'd go to spend the day at the beach. I would tow the two kids across the lake, and then my wife would ride her bike with, you know, and meet us there. We'd have the, you know, spend the day, and then I'd tow them back, right?
Okay.
So I have these $4 shoes, canvas shoes I'd bought at H&M like probably 2 years ago, and they smelled like shoes smell like, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to paint you a picture of how bad these shoes smelled.
Yeah, well, I can imagine you have bad, dirty feet, so.
I have very clean swimmer's feet. And so, but still, I'm this is what I'm wearing them for, at the beach and all that stuff. So they're taking a beating. There's no socks. No socks have ever been in those shoes. So my deal is I would put the dinghy on my head upside down and portage it down to the lake wearing these canvas shoes. Well, I'm not going to haul the shoes all the way across the lake. I'll just leave them on the side of the lake. And we're gone for like 3 hours. I come back, shoes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who would steal those shoes?
I feel like maybe somebody who is doing some community service with one of those long sticks with the little grabber on it was coming
not
by.
Not a thing in Germany.
And said, nope. You know, this is not right. These should not be in public and carefully disposed of them.
Okay, if I had come back and I'd seen the charred remains of those shoes, that would be fine. I would like, all right, I understand. You're not wrong. But I even was particular in, I didn't put them in a spot that's near somewhere somebody would sit because I was out of respect for other people. I wasn't going to take up a nice sitting spot with my stink feet. Okay.
Right. Right.
So I was conscious of that. So anyway, so I'm there. I'm baffled. Like, I'm just flummoxed about what's going on here. Why would anybody even touch those shoes? So my wife asks around. There's still people there at the lake. And somebody said, oh, yeah, somebody was asking about them, whose shoes they were. And nobody, and no, they weren't anybody, so they took them. Okay, I guess I'll just walk home barefoot on the gravel. Thanks for that part.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it was a weird, weird week of having stuff.
Good Samaritan that asked around. It wasn't like, you know, they were in.
Oh, it was a good thief.
I don't think it was a thief at all. It was a good Samaritan.
No. How is that good?
Because it looked like those were abandoned shoes.
No, but we're talking about like 4:30 in the afternoon. Now, If you're at that beach, you're a campground regular, so you're going every day. So if you leave at 4:30 and go, man, those shoes look derelict, and then you come back the next morning and they're still there, that I understand.
Okay.
But for all they know, I'm in the lake.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to get the bottom of this. I'm just baffled by why anybody would touch those shoes.
Right.
My wife would not touch those shoes.
Right. I get it.
All right. Okay.
All right.
That's all.
Al wants his shoes back.
I at this point, I just want an explanation. Like, I would have felt better if I looked out in the lake and saw them floating and was like, all right, some kid thought it was funny. It's not as funny because it's me, but it's pretty funny.
Right.
Okay, I gotcha. I'm in. You threw him up a tree. I'm in with you. There's some rhyme or reason to that. Okay. Reminder, monthly challenge for August is... Where's my shoes? Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly. It's evening light.
Yes.
That's better. A little bit more, a little bit less specific. Evening light. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram. As it is, apparently I missed one from last week. I told you last week something was acting up with Instagram. Maybe someone from the lake stole it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that
but
going around.
I just felt like I was missing something, and I did get, I think it was an email that, yes, I did indeed miss it. So, again, apologies. I will do my best to not do that again.
Okay.
Anyways, all right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
Okay, good. Whew. I was worried we'd have to talk about something.
Yeah.
I did. I shot some camping stuff, but we'll talk about that in the topic section.
Okay.
Photo challenge, then. This week was vacation. Now, you did get away, didn't you? This is the Asoyas we talked about?
Yeah, I didn't go. This is my family. I was not the photographer here. This is a guest photographer. So this is
okay.
This is someone that...
You were going to go, though. There was a chance you were going to go for a guest appearance, though.
No, it was never going to happen. I had to work, and they went during the week. So it was like a weekday, like Monday to Thursday that they went. So yeah, just being at the new job, I did not want to take time off, just being that it's very busy and I had mm-hmm. a couple months off. So I wanted to stay to work. And so that
it's also hard when you're the new guy and you start off with, look, I'm going to need like 6 weeks off.
Yeah. It's just, to me, it's just not, you just don't do that. So really wasn't something right. that I was going to ask or take off. So the family went and they asked a random stranger, I think, or maybe it was someone from the hotel they were staying at. They stayed at a slightly different place in Asoyas than we generally stay at. It was more of a hotel, than sort of like a little motel on the beach. But, they got someone, I think, from the hotel to take a photo, a group shot, and sort of nice evening shot. There was, I think this day there was a forest fire going relatively close by. So it's kind of got like a little bit of, you see the pinky kind of glow to the sky. Mm-hmm. This is what happens in Asoyas when there's a forest fire. You see kind of like the a little bit of haze in the air, but the light looks really nice. And that was taken on my wife's iPhone. So again, pretty nice shot for the iPhone.
Well, not really, because I have seen a unbelievable. You say a pretty good shot for the iPhone. It's a really good shot. But this is becoming commonplace for the iPhone,
right,
or the other phones, like the Android. Like I'm not being Apple specific. The new camera phones are amazing. Like, just like, this is, I look at this and my first instinct was, well, this isn't fair. like no, but quite honestly, it's if you are a photographer in a certain sort of, and you have a niche, and this is kind of your niche, people pictures like this, you best be looking for other work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little too easy.
I don't know why you would pay anybody to take any of these kind of photos now, because this isn't 100% of what you would get from a good photographer with a decent lens, but it's really close. And it's really is great. I mean, look at the sky. You look at the colors we got going on. I mean, sure, you might tweak the depth of field a little bit, but you can even do that with a logarithm now. Not as well, but again, it looks really good. The fact that the sky is not blown out, you can see all the faces. Whatever magic is happening behind the scenes is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
And the other thing is, I have never seen your brother-in-law dressed up this nice, even on his wedding.
Yeah, no, I think he was renewing his vows. No, he wasn't. No,
I'm doing the math on that.
He just got dressed up. That plain and simple. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, wow. I was like, okay, new shirt, obviously, but generally he cuts the sleeves off, so. I'm a little bit worried. I'm going to blow a call into him and say, you okay?
Yeah.
Are you all right? Because you're looking sharp. I saw the picture of him at Thanksgiving where he was wearing his Old Navy tank top at Thanksgiving. Yeah. So anyways. No, it looks great. Great smiles. And everybody's smiling too. Like, I'm going to show this to my kids and just say, here, can we do this once?
Yeah, I think it's because they had a stranger as the photographer. That helped.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Should do that. Yeah.
So I guess it was that stranger's photo challenge, not yours.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. A guest entry.
Okay, guess. No, a nameless. Just a ghost.
Yeah.
All right. This is mine. One of the days at the lake. There's my son.
Nice. Is this the one with, like, because I'm looking at the different photos in there. And so what's this one titled?
Stormy Sky.
Okay.
It should be 503 Allen.
Okay, gotcha. Because there's the other ones where there's sort of the rope in the background. And I didn't know if that was your photo challenge. So it's the Stormy Sky one.
Yes.
Okay, I'm on it. I like the sky. It's pretty cool. I'm not sure about his expression or the rest of it, but I do like the sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rest of it meaning what? Well, like his expression is he's just got out of the water and he's shaking the water out of his eyes. So it is an in-between moment. I didn't want to go for the standard hello, how you doing smile, which we see in the other pictures.
Okay.
But also a lot of the other ones, it's one of those situations where you know, it's my son, he's at the lake with no shirt on. So this one, he's kind of under the water, so I don't mind posting it, but all the other ones where he's not. Yeah. Creeps ruined it for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
We've talked about that a few hundred times.
Mm-hmm.
This is the lake in question. This is the lake I'd swim across every day, and so on the far side over there, that's where the beach part is, and just where I'm standing taking this photo. Actually, I'm in the water in this one. That's not true. I took the camera in the water, but just to the left is where my shoes went missing.
Yeah.
So this is the spot. Yeah.
I wish the photo was the last picture of your shoes, like the last, you know, missing sort of poster of your shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have a photo of me in those shoes. I'll send it to you offline. It's a sad day. Not even sad. I have 4 euros. I can go buy another pair. That's not my point. Anyways, so what I liked about this was just the color of the sky. Because we were over, like, just about half an hour before this, I think. We're probably over on the other side, and we saw that storm coming, and I thought, let's giddy up. I want to kind of outswim this storm. I don't want to be in the guy in the middle. I kind of do want to be the guy in the middle of the lake who gets hit by lightning. I'm not going to lie to you. That that guy's got good stories
and superpowers.
That will, yes, for sure. And if it happens in the middle of the lake, I think you're Aquaman at that point.
Yeah, Electro Aquaman.
That electric eel. That would be the new DC superhero.
Yeah.
Electric eel. And then your logo would just be E, which is available now because Edmonton is no longer called the Eskimos.
Right. So,
so that's copyright-wise, that's wide open.
Yeah, you can take that.
Awesome. Okay, so everybody wins on this one.
Sure.
So, yeah, so we got back and then and taking the boat back and just decided to go for a quick dip because the light was amazing. And, yeah, that storm rolled in behind, so we still had cool sunshine on him. And then great sky in the background. It was kind of funny because the beach was pretty much emptied out. There was this, there's like about four people there at this point. And there was a dude, a German guy, and his obviously his girlfriend who were trying to snap photos. And I could hear them. They knew I spoke English, so that they assumed I didn't speak German, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice. So as I'm in the water with my camera snapping, I'm doing like a three-shot burst every time, right?
Yeah.
And so his girlfriend had asked him quietly, she thought, you know, what's he doing? And I heard him explaining why I was doing the three-shot burst. And I was like, that's pretty cool that you knew that. That's why I was doing it. Because he nailed it. Like he said, why I was doing it was exactly right. So anyway, like the color of the lake, it all goes together.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So topic real quick before I hang up on you, because you're boring me, is... Okay. The topic is the vacation photos. Last week we talked about what camera should I take on the summer vacation, and I ended up taking pretty much exactly what we talked about. I took the 40D because I wanted tent trailer. I had the car parked by us, so you know, you could always store stuff in the car. As much as I love the X100, I didn't want to be responsible for it.
Okay.
While we were camping, if it rains or if something happens or. You know, do you worry about locking the car all the time? It was one of the rare situations where it kind of would get in the way, which is weird for that camera. So I wanted to take the beater.
Okay.
And try to keep it as simple as I could. And so I have three batteries for that. Still took the charger because we had electrical hookup at the campsite. It's all part of it in Europe. You don't go camping without it. But ended up using all three batteries but didn't need the charger.
Okay.
So 40D, 30 mil lens, which is still my beater, which I don't mind taking in the water. And as I said, the 70 to 200 is a beater now after having dropped it. And so I don't mind taking that anywhere either. I don't mind taking that in a backpack and leaving it on the beach while we swim and whatnot. So that's what we did. Camping with a beater is the way to go.
Okay.
So let's have a look at a couple of the photos you can see. So there's the first one up. My wife's brother met us there and he brought his 4-person blow up dinghy for us to use.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the kids love that. So we're paddling around the lake and when's the last time you paddled a dinghy?
We have one as well. So last year in a Soyuz, I paddled a dinghy.
They're fun when somebody else is paddling, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Like they are. It's not like you're out there, you know, in that rowing scene from Social Network.
No,
it is a beast to paddle. Like it's too far apart. You can't really. You can't get going very fast. It's pretty cumbersome.
Agreed.
Kids loved it, so we had a good time. Went out and paddled around. So my wife shot this. From the beach with the 70 to 200 lens, which serves quite well for this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. But what as I said, what I ended up doing was once I started swimming the lake, which is pretty clear, like the lake, the water itself was very murky, like very murky and green, which I'm not actually a huge fan of swimming there. But I decided I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can haul the kids, but my main motivation was I didn't want to be the kind of guy who just got halfway out in the lake and for whatever reason got a cramp and could no longer swim.
Yeah, that would be bad, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot. And so they make these little blow up boys, like swim buoys that you can pull for open water swimming, because I'm not a big open water swimmer. never really done it. So I was just going to use the dinghy as a buoy. So if in case, you know, people could see me, they wouldn't, you know, there's no motorboats. It's a pretty, pretty small lake. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't want to, if I got halfway and got into trouble, I wanted to have something to hold on to and not be a jerk. So double duty. So this is a shot my wife took of me hauling the kids back from the lake.
Nice.
Same thing, 70 to 200. And she busted off a whole series because she wanted to make sure she can get my hand coming out of the water. That was her plan.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, oh, it's a tent trailer there.
Sure
not
is.
Much, not,
yeah.
not much to talk about. This is just to showcase that we did indeed have a tent trailer.
Right.
Next up, here's the one you were talking about. My son in the swimming part, the swimming area of the lake with the little rope in behind.
Yeah.
So I shot a number of photos from this angle. Again, this is why you have a beater. You take the this is me with the 70 to 200 out in the lake. Like I'm waist deep in the lake, and I have the camera millimeters off the surface to get this angle.
Mm-hmm.
Not an angle you typically see. Like when you see people even with their iPhones, they're always shooting from above. But and before I would never take my 70 to 200. Out in the lake. Those days have passed, so I'm in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks good.
Like the light coming off in Letting's face, etc., etc. But and then the last one I was just going to share, just my kids. So pretty much most campgrounds here, for some reason, or a lot of them, have a mini golf attached to them because that's big over the putt-putt, they call it.
Okay.
So my kids love it. My son in particular just thinks mini golf is the greatest.
Yeah, Jack too.
I don't know why.
Jack loves mini golf.
Yeah, but he's a little bit older and probably good at it.
But he's liked it since he was this age. Like, he's always liked it. Sarah likes it
too. What's his favorite hole?
Well, it depends on the course, but usually the last...
No, every course has one.
A windmill?
Oh, good point. They don't have those here, surprisingly. That's up in Amsterdam.
So what's
Always the loop-de-loop.
Oh, they don't have that everywhere here.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's his favorite. So anyway, here's one of him really teeing off for some reason. I don't think he understands mini golf.
Yeah, he's got a huge follow-through there.
Yeah, he's a big hitter, the llama. Long. So anyways, that was it. That's basically the overview of my summer vacation. Any questions, Adam?
No.
You're supposed to have a question here. You're supposed to think of something interesting.
Hey, did you have fun?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Well, originally, it's funny you asked that, man, because originally, like if we go to Spain or Italy or Croatia or something like that, which was what the trailer was for, because it's easy to tow. That's a good thing about a tent trailer, right?
Yeah.
Really easy to tow behind. You collapse it. We have a bike rack that goes on top, so all four bikes go on the tent trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really quite easy, and once you get all, you know, compact. You go to Italy, you go to Spain, etc. It's pretty awesome. You can go for a month, and you're on the beach, you got everything there. Well, I'm going to Germany. Our plan was to go for like 11 days. We ended up going 12. So like I'm like 11 nights. How are we going to do this? You know,
mm-hmm.
like we're basically half an hour south of Ulm, birthplace of Einstein. That's not the same as being in Tuscany.
Right.
And so, but the lake was nice. And it was kind of funny because it's on the border of Baden-Württemberg and Germany, like Bavaria. So literally, like the border runs through the lake, and so it's not interesting to you, but it is interesting to me because there's different rules right now. Okay, I'll cut that part. But anyways,
do you want me to ask you what the different rules are?
No. It's just a Corona thing. But never mind. Okay. It's just weird. It's just weird times. That's all.
I got you.
But my point was, I was thinking. Oh no! Like, how am I going to be allowed? I like my family, but 11 days at a lake in Germany. How can you do that? And we ended up having a great time. It did burn through all my data on my phone, but right. Still had a great time and went swimming every single day. Thought we'd ride our bikes and see a bunch of different things. Did not.
Mostly hung out at the beach.
Yeah, my son in particular is like I thought he'd be scared to be in the lake because there's actually fish in the lake that we could see, and he still swam in the lake. Didn't bother him at all. There was like one of those little floating island wharfs out sort of towards the middle of the lake, and so he'd swim out there with like, put his life jacket on and swim out there with me, and we'd just go out there and learn that he learned to dive head first and in the lake. He had no problem. Never wanted to leave. That was great. Even my daughter had a good time in the lake. So yes, we did have fun. Surprisingly. Yeah.
It was a yes or no question that you ran with.
Yeah, that's good podcast. So there's that. Anyways, the one other thing that I'll tease this because we're going to talk about this coming up in an episode, I think. Shot exclusively with the crop sensor in this case, and which is one thing when you're shooting with the X100, it is a crop sensor, but you don't really think about it because you have the one lens and it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Whereas when you're shooting with, like, say, do you even have a DSLR that's a crop sensor anymore?
No,
you don't.
No.
So I was shooting, like, again, with like the 40D. It's a APS-C, and I have been wondering beforehand if I even do I really need a full frame? Like, is full frame as all it's cracked up to be? And after shooting this a couple weeks, I'm not sold that it is. I'm actually considering that maybe there's a merit to shooting with a crop sensor over a full frame.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sold on that idea yet, but I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close to being sold on it.
I think it's the downside for me was always that you really better have a wide angle lens. And so I guess you have that 30 mil and I had that 30 mil Sigma lens that I bought for my original crop sensor. Otherwise, like, you just can't get back far enough. Like, there's so many scenarios right where you're just too close. But that was really the only drawback that I saw. It wasn't about, you know, the quality of the image or whatnot. It was just more about I'm often just too close. So I guess it depends on what you're planning to shoot and how big your space is. Because in small spaces, that was the big pain of the crop sensor.
Well, my favorite lens camera combo, like, for a long, long time, was a 35 millimeter FTB, full frame, obviously, with a 50 mil lens. I used to love shooting with that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, not exactly the same, but it's sort of the equivalent. It's the 30 mil on that lens is on that camera is sort of the same, relatively speaking. There's a few minor differences, but for the most part, it's hard to tell the difference. And so, I don't know, moving forward, like I said, I still haven't decided where I'm going to go and with the new camera, if I'm going to go with the Fuji, etc. But let's just say the crop sensor is not as big of a factor as I thought it would be.
Okay.
All right. All right. Challenge for next week. We're having trouble coming up with one, so it's going to be dealer's choice. Surprise me next week, Adam. You pick what you want to shoot. I'll pick what I want to shoot.
Great.
If I want to do mini golf, I'll do mini golf again. You're not going to boss me.
Okay. I like it.
Reminder, though, our monthly challenge for August is Evening Sky. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, even better, both of those things, and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll be sure to check that out, probably. I say I'm like 90% sure based on last week, last month.
All right.
All right. That is it. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. Although, can you? Can you, though? Somebody made a joke about it, and I said, I still have a website. I do have a website, except for my profile picture. I think I have pretty dark hair. So I went and looked. Sure enough, I urge you to check out my profile picture on AlanAtridge.com and see how uncurrent it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The acne should give it away.
Okay.
Anyway, check it out there at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.